still, does it really matter all that much? He asked himself. There's so much happening now, so many things that have broken loose in the last couple of years. I doubt half a dozen people in the entire kingdom, outside the college itself, even begin to suspect all that's about to break loose, either. Or, thank God, how much of that we owe to Sajin Merlin. If any of those temple loyalist idiots knew about him, there'd be hell to pay, and no mistake. But with so much happening, so much coming together, I doubt we'd have time to become subservient to the crown. He chuckled dryly at the thought and bent over his desk once more, frowning as he contemplated the formula he'd been playing with for the last several hours. He tapped his teeth gently with the end of his pen holder, then dipped the nib and started writing slowly once again. He never quite identified the sound which pulled him out of his reverie an hour or so later. It hadn't been very loud, whatever it was. Probably, he decided later, it had been the sound of breaking glass. At the time, all he knew was that he'd heard something which wasn't part of the old building's normal nighttime creaks and groans. Space near the harbor was always at a premium in Telesburg, which helped explain why the city had so many tall buildings. Some of them were even taller than the college, in fact, and many of them were even older structures. But some of the builders had been a little less than scrupulous in their building practices. Certainly the college was constantly showing new cracks in its walls and emitting nocturnal sounds which could be downright alarming. In this case, however, and even though it didn't sound especially threatening, whatever it wasn't supposed to be there, and Roger Macklin was a naturally curious man. He sat for several seconds, waiting for the sound to repeat itself, but it didn't. Finally, he shrugged and returned his attention to his work, but he wasn't able to slide back into it the way he usually could. The oddity of that unidentifiable sound continued to pick at one corner of his mind, continued to challenge him to figure out where it had come from.
"Oh, all right, Roger," he told himself finally. "You know you're not going to get anything else done until you go and find out."
He laid his pen down once again, stood, walked across his small fourth-floor office, and opened the door onto the building's central stairwell. The blast of heated air roaring up the hollow core of that stairwell nearly knocked him off his feet. Roger Macklin stared in disbelief at the dense torrents of smoke already funneling up like the fumes from one of Edward Hausman's furnaces. The brick building was close to 80 years old. Its wooden framing timbers, walls, and floors were bone dry and heavily painted. Its hollow core was like one vast chimney, and the hungry, crackling roar of the voracious flames told Macklin the structure was already doomed. And so, a small, still voice told him in the back of his mind, as he slammed the door shut once again, was he. His office was on the college's top floor. That stairwell was the only way out, and if anything in this world was clear, it was that he couldn't possibly get down those stairs through that inferno.
"I suppose I'm coming after all, Lisbeth," he thought almost calmly as he backed up against the office's outer wall.
Smoke was beginning to curl under the office door, as if the fact that he'd opened it had shown the fiery monster the path in, and he thought he could feel the searing heat on the far side of that flimsy portal radiating against his face. Perhaps it was only his imagination, but if it was, it wouldn't be imaginary heat for long, and Macklin made up his mind.